Micah, would you like to buy a purse? Because I'm selling some. I didn't know if you knew that I was a purse salesman. Person. Purse salesperson? Purse sales. Me.
You salesperson. Person. Person.
Oh, purse.
Son. Then,
yeah. Will you just buy a bag? Okay. Just buy my bag.
No. In fact, it's not allowed because I can't accept any solicitations in the office.
I mean, but what if I was a hot girl?
Oh, okay. Well, in that case.
Exceptions for the hot girl. And this week, everyone, we're talking about the episode Hot Girl.
It was the best intro we've ever done, Tiff. I'm very proud of us.
High five. episode 6 of season 1 of The Office, Hot Girl. And we have a special new guest come in who wants to sell some purses.
Yeah, this is the last episode of season 1. Season 1 is a very short season, and soon we'll start off with season 2 with a bang. But I really liked the intro to this episode, so I really want to talk about it. Jan is on the phone talking to Michael and saying, like, we're trying to find ways basically to boost sales, and so we could we're offering an incentive prize that the manager of the office gets to pick, and it's up to $1,000. But the whole time that Jan is talking to Michael, Michael's like building this weird pencil creation into his keyboard and shuffle. It's just so funny how he's not paying any attention to her. And it is the perfect example of his management style and sort of a hint at why things are going so poorly at his office. And I love it. I was laughing the whole time. And in fact, I don't think that I remembered that he was building with pencils at the beginning. I remembered the shuffling papers part, but I didn't remember the pencils. So it was a good little bit there.
Yeah, it really shows how playful he gets, especially later on when we start seeing a lot of toys and stuff on his desk, which, you know, we've gotten a glimpse of here and there, but it really shows that he does sit in there and plays with all those toys and pencils and things. Like, he's just goofing off.
He's a big kid.
That's right. I mean, he even tries to get the incentive program given to himself in some way. He was, you know, talking to Jan and trying to figure out ways that it could go to him instead of the top salesman. He was like, well, what if it is someone who used to be in sales and got promoted and they were so good? And just any way possible, he's trying to get the prize for himself.
This week, we should point out Pam's nickname is Pam Burger with cheese and fries and shake, which I love. Michael does this to everybody, and it is the most annoying thing to have done to you, but it's so funny to see other people experiencing it. And it's where you like think that their dumb joke is over, and so you sort of roll your eyes and try to keep talking, and then he keeps adding to the joke piece after piece after piece, and it's like, can you please stop?
But you see how he gets there, especially with the morphic nickname he had for Daryl, right?
Yes.
So he's kind of creating all of those things for everybody. But Pam takes quite a beating in this episode.
Ugh.
So right away, we start off and Katie comes in to sell purses in the office. And at first you're thinking, like, why would someone like come into this random office park
this makes no sense.
To sell like a whole bunch of weird handbags that look like they came off the back of a truck in Chinatown? Like, it's just, they're not... Like, she didn't make them.
Right. Yeah. This isn't like an Etsy store, like a traveling Etsy store. This looks, yeah.
She's like a weird purse reseller. Like, I don't know. I don't know. But she's in the office. And at first they were going to be sending her away. And then as soon as Michael got a look of her, he allowed her to sell in there. But the most painful office-y moments are when she's kind of being brought into the office and they are blatantly comparing her to Pam, because you have two young women, both have kind of like blondish red hair. You know, they're both kind of similar heights. So they're getting compared a lot. And as Michael even says, he's like the new and improved Pam, the Pam 6.0.
And, yeah. Not even like 2.0 or he said 6.0. So mean.
They both look, Pam is just beaten down. Like, she's just so falling into herself at that moment, because she's like, it's so Michael. It's just so typical, right? He says horrible things like this. And even you still have to look at him and be like, where is this coming from? And then you look at Katie's face, and she is also like some of the most awkward, painful, like, is this actually happening? This person said this out loud to this other woman who I don't even know, and now you're, oh.
That's the thing, is she comes in, like, she's a stranger, and for Michael to immediately, A, in front of these cameras, and B, like, right in front of the both of them, is doing this thing, he forgets he is the leader, and so the things that he does gives other people permission to do, you know, similar things. And we see that happen when Kevin, literally right while he's standing next to Pam, I mean, he's like right there, Pam's right there, and he says to Pam, you know, she's prettier than you, don't you? Or something along
those
lines.
Are you feeling jealous because she's prettier than you?
And that's like awful. Who would ever say that?
You see the example set by Michael, who is the boss and the leader in this situation. And he is a man reacting to the women in the office in the way that he does, in like the sexist vocabulary and lingo and the demeaning way he speaks to women, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like it's saying to the other male members of the office that that's okay, that is a way that we speak to women here. This is the way that we treat each other. You know, like when you start, it's just like, it's a very negative thing, but it's just like you can make that positive too in any situation. Do you know what I'm getting at? Where it's like, if there's a precedent set of how we do things, how we react, how we talk to each other, that precedent gets echoed throughout the other members of a team or an office or a situation. And so here we're seeing this extremely negative way of talking to people, specifically women, getting echoed throughout the rest of the office. And right there comes Kevin to reiterate that and to reaffirm all of those negative, it's not good.
No,
it's not good.
It's not.
I also find it funny that Michael right off the bat says, no, we can't have purses sold in here because it would be a distraction. And what happens as soon as they see Katie, they all like stop working basically. And what does it become? A giant distraction, like absolutely giant distraction.
And so much so, Ryan is trying to get work done. Like he is as the temp, he's going around and he's trying to set up software on people's computers so that they can do their job. I mean, again, this is season one. The whole season is about the fact that there are branches possibly closing down, that the company's losing money. Ryan is setting up some software that would, in theory, make them more efficient. What does Michael do? He stops Ryan from doing his job and says, go watch those purses so I can take Katie around to meet everybody.
Causing even more distraction, right?
Yeah, like the boss is not in his office doing work. And on top of that, he's taking people who are doing work away from their jobs. And the person who's trying to make the place more efficient is pulled more than once away from his job. It's so frustrating.
I like when Pam has her aside later on after she's, you know, kind of blatantly attacked for not being as pretty. She says that she's happy that Katie is here because it's another person for Michael to interact with. And she's a distraction, but thank goodness she's a distraction for Michael away from them. You know?
Yes, so exactly.
Like, they actually have a hope of getting work done or being not the butt of his jokes because she's there distracting him.
Thank God.
From distracting them.
Michael, he's so bad at this whole thing in general. But what's interesting is he's sort of like a puppy dog or something. I don't know, a hound that catches a scent and then goes through sort of unstopped on this hunt. And in this case, at the beginning, Michael offers a cup of coffee or something like that. And Katie says, or offers to give her anything that she needs. And she says she'll take a cup of coffee. Well, as soon as Michael hears that, he's like, oh, I found this thread. I found this thing that's going to connect the two of us. And throughout the entire rest of the episode, everything that he does is either referencing coffee or is based on coffee. Like, he tries to impress her with the coffee machine that he purchased as the incentive prize and then wants to give her coffee. And then he's having an interview with the cameras where he's talking about coffee. It's so sort of, again, cringy because that's not like, people are not one thing and their interests vary, and the way that you communicate and connect connect with people is not like, I found the one interest that you told me about that may not even be your biggest interest, but I'm going to think that it is, and then go on this whole thing about trying to get you and get you interested in me through this thing that you said you wanted.
His flirting techniques are so like, just find something to focus in on and never let it go. Like, lock onto it like a dog with a bone. Like, do not let this one thing go, and don't even focus on anything else. Don't absorb anything else. Like, he took the first thing she said and, just like you said, just absolutely attacked it and obliterated it and made it so awkward and made it so frustrating. And like, it's like, I don't even want to hear the word coffee anymore. Like, just, right. Just stop it. Like, I love when he makes her the espresso and Stanley comes in and is like, isn't that the incentive prize for the office? And he's like, oh yeah, it's so easy to clean. And then a little while later, when Pam's in Michael's office, you see the coffee machine behind him. Just and wrecked. There's all these rags and paper towels and stuff covered in coffee stains. Like, it looked like he had quite the panic moment trying to clean it up. And it's just an absolute mess back there. And it's just like, oh my gosh,
For anyone who watched the episode beforehand, if you didn't catch this, I beg of you, go back and pay closer attention to Stanley's face after Michael says they're easy to clean. As Stanley's walking away, he just has the most wonderful expression of like, mm-hmm, on his, mm-hmm. Like, there's no better way to put it. It's the essence of mm-hmm as he walks away. And like, that's how everybody feels in that moment, because Michael literally opened the prize that was A, not meant for him, B, that Jan said was not meant for him, and C, he only purchased because Katie said she liked coffee. Michael is just so bad. He's so bad.
He's so single-minded. Like, he will only focus on this one thing. He can't let anything else into his worldview. Like, of this, his flirting style is just bad.
Crushing.
One of the main things I want to bring up that happens in this episode, when everyone's in the break room or the kitchen having lunch together, and ugh, by everyone I mean Pam and Roy and Jim are all kind of there, and I think there's a few other people milling around, but Katie walks by, and Roy, being the charmer that he is, decides to say, I would be all over that if I weren't dating Pam. And this is now right in front of Pam. Like, she's eating lunch next to him, like, not even right in front of her, that she's just kind of passing by. They are eating lunch together, and he blatantly says that. With it shows how little regard he has for their relationship,
and her feelings, and the relationship, and everything.
And Pam's retort is, "We're not dating; we're engaged."
Like, reminder, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, it hurts so much. And Pam walks away, and Roy doesn't even care that she walks away. He just kind of keeps eating lunch, and it kind of goes on, and we see a little bit more insight into, in contrast, we see how kind of kind Jim is, mm-hmm, also. So, you know, Roy asks Jim if Katie is his type. And he's like, no, it's not my type. And of course, we again get Roy accusing Jim of being gay, because how could you not find this rando attractive woman attractive? And it's like, just because she is a pretty looking person doesn't mean that it's like your type. Like, you don't have to like every person. That's just
That is not how attraction works.
It's a minimum requirement. Like,
and
yes,
what I love is how Jim handily handles that question. So he says, "What are you, gay?" And Jim is not, you know, taken aback or you know, disgusted, yes, or anything like that. He just says, "I don't think so." And I, you know, that was a very charming moment. Like, Jim represents all of the good things about a straight male, or many of the good things, at least.
I totally wrote that down. He is so confident. He just moves along from this blatant homophobic comment that Roy makes, and he casually dismisses it without attacking anyone. He, mm-hmm, doesn't make anyone feel less than for their choices. He doesn't dismiss any accusations so harshly to infer any like negativity towards any group at all. It's just, he's cool, he's confident, he has a little bit of an edge to a nerdiness, the way he like follows up and he says like, oh yeah, my types are moms. Like, I dig moms, any kind of moms, like soccer moms, NASCAR moms. Like, he just lists off all these moms, and we're always like, ew, gross. Like, and it's Jim's way of joking without, and just like you said, he doesn't take it. He's not like, oh no way, man, I'm totally not gay. Like, you know, again, that's answering homophobia with homophobia, right? Like, that's just, it's not the way to be. And it makes me love Jim even more, the character and the way he's written, because he is. He's just so... I could see how everyone can like him.
Yeah,
because,
he's just a cool guy.
Yeah, he just lets everyone just be, man. Just gotta be.
Except for Dwight.
Except for Dwight, whom he sicks onto Katie, actually.
Yes, to cheer up later... Pam. It's so sweet and so hilarious.
And he is. He's basically doing it as like a gift to Pam, you know, because she just had this horrible experience with her fiance. And now Jim is trying to make up for it and like to make her laugh by sending Dwight into the purse room, which is the conference room, to go buy a purse.
Yes. So Dwight, Dwight is talking to Jim, and Jim's giving Dwight advice about, like, you have more of a connection than Michael and her do. You should definitely go do this. He goes inside, and Jim walks over to Pam, who is still a little upset about what happened, and is like, this is going to be great. And they start doing a voiceover of the conversation interaction that's happening between Dwight and Katie. And we see Dwight like throwing the purse down on the table.
He's stress testing them.
I'm curious. Have you ever done that before? Have you not stress testing purses, but doing the sort of voiceover interaction thing?
Oh yeah, because I'm a big Mystery Science Theater fan. So I every once in a while I do like to try my hand in the improv situation of like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh yes, what do you think of that? Like, if you see people in the distance, like, yes, giving them voices and making them say things that it looks like they're saying, or if you see two people arguing or talking on the street, it's funny to put words in their mouth from your perspective. And I love that Jim and Pam find that together, and Pam jumps right in to the joke. She gets it right away. She's ready with her humor. So you see the contrast of her shyness throughout the beginning of the episode, and then again how she just brightens up and becomes this really funny, personable person when she's with Jim.
It's very sweet the way that they find comfort in each other and find joy and happiness and sort of can shine as the people that they are. And that is not the way that it works with Roy and Pam. Mm-hmm. There are a few things that happen in between there that carry a little bit less weight, but basically, you know, to carry this story along, Katie, if she finds out that her ride bails on her, and so Michael, again, being just the biggest creepity creep creeper, is doing everything he can. The awkward conversation that they're having as he's trying to convince her that he can give her a ride home. At one point, he refers to his employees as slaves because he's in this awkward moment. It's like, can you just stop talking? But it finally wears Katie down, and she decides to go on the ride. And of course, that throws a wrench into the Dwight and Katie opportunity because Michael is giving her a ride home. So we get this another, oh, it's so awkward with Dwight psyching himself up. He's like, you know what? I don't care that Michael is going to go date or is going to take Katie home. He decides to go in there and try to have a conversation with Katie. And the way that he handles it is so awkward. And Katie, you can tell, like, she feels uncomfortable, and he wants to talk to her in private. And I would not talk to someone in private who was acting the way that Dwight was.
No. Oh, every moment, every shot of her face, it is just screaming, like, I should probably leave. Like, I see her inner monologue in her eyes the whole entire episode. Everything that happened, she's like, I should probably leave. Everything in my body is telling me to leave, but it should be okay. I mean, it'll be all right, right? It's like someone new comes into the office, and every straight man within a radius is just attacking her, basically. Like, you know, they're just all foaming at the mouth. Ugh. And it's gross, and it's stressful, and anyway.
that's how we all end up feeling about it. And, you know, he's trying to get a date and all that stuff, and Katie shuts him down, and so he just sort of is shut down.
To contrast the horrible flirting of Michael and Dwight, and I guess a little bit of Kevin too, Jim eventually decides to go in and talk to Katie. And that's kind of sparked with a situation that happened between Pam and Roy, because Roy comes back up trying to apologize when she was kind of sitting close to Jim, and he tickles her, and they're like on his desk, and there's this really awkward moment. And then, like, Jim just kind of puts his hands in his pockets and walks away, right? Like, just everything's just like, oh, this doesn't feel right. I shouldn't be here. This shouldn't be happening on my desk. I was just talking to my friend, and now this is happening. And that kind of motivates Jim to go ask out Katie, because now he's feeling like, well, there's obviously feelings between him and Pam, but Pam's taken. And he's like, I need to do something else. I can't keep dwelling on this woman. I need to just try something else. So you see Jim walk into the conference room and start flirting with Katie. And his manner of flirting is so calm and cool and light humor. And he asks about her and he makes little jokes that are like light and casual. It is the exact opposite of Michael's technique.
His like, ham-fisted technique, like, his coffee-fisted technique.
It's like when you see those pictures online of like, don't and then do, you know, like with drawing. It's like, don't draw this ugly stick figure. Draw this beautiful, you know, this beautiful fleshed out person over here. It's like, well, of course. But this is literally it. This is the do not of flirting and the do of flirting.
Yes.
Jim does it masterfully. And that also has to do with his confidence and his personality and the way he is. And of course, you know, Katie reacts to it super positively because he's asking about her. He's talking about her. He's not being a weirdo and intimidating her and making her feel, nothing aggressive is happening.
The thing that I wanted to talk about or touch on was this, you know, the Jim and Pam thing. It's weird how there is this underlying, I don't think intentional sort of pain that they're causing each other, but we do have this back and forth where we see one person get hurt because the other person, they're reminded that the other person is in a relationship or that the other person, you know, could potentially be in a relationship that is not with them. And in those reminders, there's pain. And so then the other person sort of reacts to that pain by trying to make themselves feel better, which then causes pain for the other person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's an agonizing situation because you have a friend who's in a relationship and you're like, there's feelings going back and forth, but it's like that delicate line of what's okay to cross and what's not. Like, you know, do you think of yourself and your feelings and break that up and, you know, try, or do you just try and forget about it and ignore it and move on with your life and try dating someone else? You know, like that's what Jim's kind of going through right now. It's like he has a friend that he cares about a ton. He doesn't want to hurt her by telling her his feelings. But at the same time, like, so he needs to weigh, like, are my feelings more important than hers? It's that's what you're seeing right now, because that's why he starts asking out Katie, because he's like, I have to try something else. I can't just sit here and pine for this person when she obviously has a relationship with somebody else, because she does have a relationship with Roy and it's right in Jim's face. Like it's right on top of Jim's desk in this episode. It's like he's trying to figure out what to do about that. And I think he's trying to make the healthiest choice possible for himself.
This is very realistic. This relationship type thing where you have, you know, two people who there's some amount of unrequited love situations that keep two people apart. And I think humans who sort of haven't become jaded for whatever reason tend to be hopeful and will sort of hold out hoping that they can be with that person. And it's those reminders of like, what am I doing? Why am I causing myself pain or causing myself or, you know, wasting time in a way? It is a little bit of wasting time of this short time that we have on this earth. And so then it's a reminder like, oh, I need to, if I want to be happy, it's clear to me that I can't be happy with Pam because Pam is in a relationship and she's staying in that relationship. And the writers are very good about sort of giving us moments of hope where we see things not go well. And it's like, well, maybe Pam and Jim could be together. Maybe they could be together. And then, you know, once again, we see, okay, no, maybe not. Maybe they won't be. And it's very painful, I think, for us to watch even, but it's certainly, it's a very realistic thing of these two people who think they would be good together, sort of dealing with what it's like to already be in a relationship or, you know, not be in a relationship, but watch the other person be in one.
And we see a lot, we see Pam's reaction to this, because at a moment when, you know, Pam goes over to Jim's desk and says like, oh, I'm bored. And then Jim reveals that he has a date with Katie, and their conversation suddenly gets so awkward and restrained and it totally changes. You know, Pam goes over expecting to be like, jokey joke, that Jim's always going to be here. And he's like the single guy that I could flirt with because, you know, he's not attached. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he has a date with somebody else. And I think that she starts to feel something a little different too in that situation. Whereas before, like, her things were, and now all of a sudden she's feeling a little jealousy.
She walks away. She puts on makeup.
Yeah. That moment. That when she is putting on the lip gloss and the camera catches her. Ooh. And the way that that does, and how she, I'm just like, oh, your heart in that moment, because first of all, she's doing it thinking no one's watching.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing it because she just spent the majority of the day being told that she wasn't pretty enough. Now the person that she kind of cares about the most in the office, he's going for the girl that's supposedly prettier than her. And so she's putting on this lipstick, and then even her fiance is preferring this other girl. Oh my God. It's just all of that gets piled onto Pam in that moment, and she's putting on that lip gloss, and then the camera catches her, and that feeling of insecurity and that feeling of, oh, they caught me trying, and how she like subtly wipes it off of her mouth. Oh my gosh, my heart, it absolutely breaks. It absolutely so breaks sad. In that moment.
It's so sad. And it's brilliant filmmaking. I don't know what else to call
it. Yeah, because there's so much that happens. There's so many feelings and words and things associated with that tiny little moment that has no dialogue. And I encourage anybody who just watched this episode to go back and really feel what Pam is feeling in that moment, because it is so good. It good in the way of brilliant TV and filmmaking and storytelling.
And hitting you right in the feels.
Oh, so hard. So hard. Right in the heart.
Right in the heart. And then after that, we have a moment that I don't know if it hits us. It hits us maybe in the funny bone portion of our hearts, because it is still a little bit sad, but it's also like, well, that's what you get, because the day comes to an end and we see everybody going out, you know, outside into the parking lot. And Katie has waited this whole time to reveal that she is getting a ride from Jim and not Michael. And so we see Michael with this look on his face as he's trying to be chill, you know, as the cameras are on him. He's trying to sort mm-hmm. of keep a straight face and not show that he's upset about the fact that, or embarrassed even, that Jim ended up being able to give Katie a ride home and Michael does not get to. And like the brilliance of Katie to wait until the end of the day is just on point, because if she had told Michael earlier in the day, Michael would have just gone like three times as hard, I'm sure, trying to
convince her. Oh yeah, she would have never heard the end of that. Back to a little bit more Pam hurt, right?
Oh yeah.
When she's driving away with Roy and watching Jim and Katie get into Jim's car, and her look as it pulls away, and that's basically the end of the episode. Oh, ouch. Ouch. Oh, my heart. My heart for her. Oh,
as Roy and her drive home, and she sees Jim like laughing and joking with Katie, and mm-hmm. you know, there's good moments going on there, and it's like quiet in Roy's car, and she's just sitting there, hands in lap, and just looking mm-hmm. at that. And
I mean, and how could she not help but compare herself, right? They kind of look similar, like we pointed out in the beginning of the episode. Like the whole it's they did a really great job with casting and the way they coordinated that, and they kind of encouraged those feelings of jealousy and those feelings of self-consciousness and the feelings of like wanting to be seen and but not being able to be. Oh, it's just this small little episode that really not a lot happens. It seems like this trivial thing that this woman comes in just to sell purses in the office ends up being so heavy with feelings between our little love triangle couple mm-hmm. that's happening, that it ends up being a really significant moment for, I think, Jim and Pam.
Yeah, this is one of those episodes that I think focuses more, it shows the deeper sides of the office. It shows the more emotional side, and it shows that, you know, there's more of a story to tell than just silly boss being silly and everyone being uncomfortable because of silly boss. Like, this is some hard-hitting stuff, and I really, again, I appreciate that. I love that about this show, that it doesn't just have to be funny har-har all the time, that we can have these moments mm-hmm. that really hit you right in the gut and make you feel things.
But it's so lovely sprinkled with all of those hilarious moments and visual gags, yes. and cleaning out Michael's car. That, like, we don't you. Have to I, go into yes. it.
No, I want to, though, because I talked about how Ryan was pulled away from work so many times. He was pulled away so that he could help Michael clean out his car before Katie got in there. And not only is his car filled with, like, half consumed bottles of what is essentially Gatorade, but he also has, like, an empty bottle of cologne that he won't throw away because he says there's more in the straw, and a bajillion Filet-O-Fish sandwiches. Ugh, it's so ugh. Michael. It is so Michael.
It had to be mentioned. It had to be mentioned. So I'm going to give out the Dundee, because I got to say, this is unique to this episode. The cutest purse award. Who bought the cutest purse? Katie, I think it was Stanley. Stanley bought this pink purse for whomever in his life.
He's got good taste.
Yeah, so the cute purse award goes to Stanley for buying the cutest purse, because Dwight's was just boring and black.
Dwight's little briefcase / purse was certainly a good one, and plenty of gags. But
it looks sturdy.
Yeah, there you go. It was a sturdy purse, but Stanley's was very, very cute.
Very cute.
Thank you all for listening to the show. Thank you so much to those of you who have left reviews in the Apple Podcasts library. It has been great getting to read those. We genuinely love that, and love all of the interactions that you have with us on Twitter. If you would like to send along some animated images, or you want to share articles with us, or just want to talk about your favorite bits and moments and episodes of The Office, or share your choice for the cutest purse, you can hit us up on Twitter at @tall_beats.
And we'll see you back in the office next week.
Yes. Let me just collect all of my items here into my purse. And
oh, yeah. Yep. Fill up your purse.
Good to go. And I'll have a cup of espresso on the way out. And good night, everybody.